Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Unprecedented pricing is now available on hail-impacted models. Browse the hail inventory at mercedes-benz-countryhills.ca.
So, Elliot Friedman drops a really interesting, almost bombshell in his 31 Thoughts. Maybe not quite to that level, but a fairly interesting little note when on 31 Thoughts, which is up at sportsnet.ca right now, was published yesterday, said, you know what, the Flames might be looking to totally revamp their blue line depending on what's available. So let's get into it on our Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable. My name is Pat Steinberg, he's Will Nault, and he is Logan Gordon. That is our trio on the Daily Flames Roundtable today. So, Logo, you read that from Elliot. Is that something you want to see from the Calgary Flames between now and, let's say, January when next season starts? Do you want to see a totally revamped, totally different-looking blue line next year as to how they finish this year in August?
I think so, and I think it's coming regardless of what any of us think one way or the other, just based on some of the guys they have in the system and the amount of UFAs that they have. They have few guys on this blue line set to be here past a couple of years. It's Giordano, it's Hanifin, and it's Anderson going forward, and Gio only has two of those years left. We've talked so much about the forward group and needing some change or a refresher in the top six, and while I'm absolutely for that, we've also discussed how difficult that can be. That's not an easy change to make. It's going to require probably a hockey deal from Brad Treliving and another GM, and those take time. They're not easy conversations to have, moving a Sean Monahan or a Johnny Gaudreau and still feeling like you came out equal or better is going to be really hard. If you want to revamp something or you're not exactly happy with how your defense has performed over the next few years or the last few years, you have a perfect opportunity right now with a handful of guys going straight to UFA to let them walk and potentially bring in some different guys, some different looks, or let guys like Juuso Välimäki and Connor Mackey take some time on some lower end minutes as well. It's the easier way of really reshaping this team, especially from a back end perspective, because you don't have to go out and trade guys and make a hockey deal for this to happen. You simply just have to let some guys walk and find new homes and fill their roster spots. It might not be the easiest process, and you might not love every free agent out there, but it's certainly something I think the Flames should consider, because it's not going to be easy on any other front, Will, and going forward when you've got, you know, guys like TJ Brody and Travis Hamonic who have eaten up big money and big time on your team. If you let two of those guys walk, even just those two, you're already talking about a major shakeup to the Calgary D.
Yeah, I think going into this offseason, nobody is surprised by the fact that Calgary is looking for a revamp of their blue line. They've got five pending UFAs. Four of those were regulars inside their top six when the season was paused in March. Travis Hamonic, TJ Brody, Erik Gustafsson, and Derek Forbort. Michael Stone, the other UFA defenseman, was essentially the season-long seventh D-man. So right there alone, you're looking at a bit of a revamp. Yes, you're going to have to bring new bodies in, which would add to this so-called revamp. And also the fact that I think of those five guys, really only one is a realistic option of coming back to Calgary, and that's TJ Brody. I think Gustafsson's going to chase bigger money in free agency. I don't think he's interested in coming back to Calgary. I don't think Forbort or Stone are going to be priorities for this team, and I think Travis Hamonic and the Flames are going to go their separate ways this summer, as you had mentioned earlier on in the show, Pat. So when you look at that alone, I think you're looking at a revamp. And then I kind of missed this earlier, and we got around to that point when talking about it before, but Pat, I think part of that revamp, too, is maybe starting to look for a bit of a plan B or a secondary plan or even a transition plan, as I think you're lying to yourself if you think Mark Giordano is a number one defenseman who's going to play 24 minutes a night for the next two seasons that he's under contract. I don't think that's realistic. Did you watch the playoffs? Did you see how Mark Giordano played in those games? Yes, it was all unique, and it was playing hockey in the middle of the summer, but it's not a guy that I'm necessarily tying my wagon to as being a guaranteed, no questions asked, number one D-man for those 2 years. Could he be for, you know, parts or even half of that 2-year segment? Sure. but I'm not counting on it being a guarantee, Pat. So I think that's part of the revamp too. And then obviously you add the Noah Hanifin factor in there, and this thing could look completely different whenever next season begins.
Yeah, and Elliot mentioned the name Hanifin in his 31 thoughts when talking about the team potentially revamping their blue line. I guess I when I think about it, I think some significant changes would be good, because for the longest time, last number of years, we've looked at Calgary's blue line and considered it a strength, but it hasn't necessarily pushed the team into a different level once the postseason, or into a different stratosphere once the postseason has begun. So if they were to make some changes, I get it, because look, it's a perfect time to be able to do so, because you have those five unrestricted free agents that you could let walk. The only thing that I think you have to remember is that change doesn't always mean improvement, and change just for the sake of change doesn't really, or very rarely, gets you further. So I do think you have to remember that, and I think that if you're the Flames, you need to take a look at who the guys are that are going to be moved out, and look at them objectively, and not apply that, well, we need to change, so this guy needs to walk, and instead think about it, and we're going to get into it more in just a second, but okay, which of these guys can we actually upgrade on in free agency, or if we were to go down the trade route, and realistically be able to upgrade on? Now, what I really think is interesting, Will, is the thought is your point on Mark Giordano. And I think that is a, like, if that were the primary motivating factor as to why they were looking to revamp, I totally get it. And I think that's perfectly reasonable. And not to say that Gio can't play anymore, and not to say that he's done, because I've seen Mark Giordano throughout his career look better in the regular season than I have seen him in the postseason. He is one of those guys on this team that has shown the inability to be able to be the same guy in the playoffs that he is in the regular season. Is what it is. It's not good, but it is what it is. But am I expecting Mark Giordano to be 10 steps back in the regular season next year? No, I'm expecting him still to be a very good NHL defenseman, even though he turns 37 on Saturday. But you're right, I do think at some point you have to start planning and looking for the next guy and a plan B, as it were. And could Valimaki possibly be that plan B? Sure, but Will, I don't think you can count on that, because I don't think you know yet. So if they were to go out and acquire a guy in this offseason that could slot in and be a top four defenseman on the left side right now, and could very feasibly be a replacement down the road for Mark Giordano, I think that would be a perfect and a perfectly reasonable explanation to go out and make some significant changes on your back end.
Yeah, Valimaki and Rasmus Anderson being your future top pairing is obviously, you know, best case scenario if you're the Calgary
fans. That's the desire, right?
Right, but you can't necessarily, you know, count your chickens before they hatch, or you know, look at put the cart before the horse. You've got to get there first, and you've got to slowly transition to that. And again, I'm with you. I think starting next season, absolutely, Mark Giordano is penciled in and written on that whiteboard in the locker room as your number one defenseman. But by the time you get to midseason, by the time you get to the end of the year, maybe that's not the case. And further to your bigger point, Pat, and I'm not saying this is the reason the Flames have been unable to get over the hump in the postseason, but he, along with other top players on this team, not being at their best in the postseason is part of the reason why they can't get over. So if you can get some help for a guy like Mark Giordano, and maybe it is a guy that's eventually going to be one that overtakes him for the number one defenseman role. But again, I just think that you have to have a plan in place, and you can't just be under the assumption that Mark Giordano is going to be just fine for these next two years, because I firmly don't believe that's realistic, and I don't think that's smart business-wise. I think it's okay to have him on this team, and I think it's okay to accept the fact that in the final, you know, couple months of this contract in year two, he might be a guy that's penciled in on the second or third pairing. But you know, you have to have something that allows you to get there. If you've got no one to replace that, and you're just going to move Mark Giordano down the lineup, that's not going to do you very well, and you're probably not going to be all that competitive on the ice. So that's, I think, something definitely to keep in count as you move forward here.
So it's our daily Calgary Flames Roundtable. He's Will Nault. He's Logan Gordon. My name is Pat Steinberg. So as we continue talking about this concept of revamping the blue line logo. So what do you want to see? Like, if we're talking about completely revamping it and we see five pending unrestricted free agents, are all of them walking in your mind?
I think so. I think Brody's the only one that I can seriously see them re-signing at this point. I know we've made some conversation about Michael Stone and his value as a seventh defenseman, but for me, it's almost inconsequential. If he has to come in and play 40 games or something like that, then you're talking about things that went dramatically wrong really for this club. Yeah. So, and I think even Brody now, I mean, I just feel like more and more with some of the re-signings, the Jeff Petrie, the Brodeen, all this sort of stuff, I just kind of feel like we're even getting to the point where maybe TJ Brody, for his age and what it's going to cost to bring him back, has priced himself out of there. I think Will's bang on when it comes to Eric Gustafson and his desire to probably go in and try to get as much money as he can for a free agency term right now. So if anybody's coming back, I'm going to lean towards TJ Brody. But in my mind right now, if I'm looking at the UFAs for the Flames, they're all gone in my mind.
Yeah, Brody is the only guy for me, Pat. I think I laid it out earlier. I think Forbort, I think you said it. Forbort and Stone look at guys or look to be guys that maybe the Flames can circle back on as potential number sevens going forward. I think Travis Hamonic and the Flames are going to go their separate ways. And I think the only one that they would entertain bringing back because of his versatility, the fact that he can play essentially in any pair you want, I think, and the fact that he's well-liked inside the organization and inside the locker room, I do think there's a chance TJ Brody remains a Calgary Flame. But any of the other four, quite frankly, I would be quite surprised if they are back.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think that there's a couple that I'm pretty convinced aren't going to be back. Yeah, it's my belief that Hamonic and the Flames are going to go in separate directions, and I think that's kind of been the case for a little while now since the offseason has begun. So I don't get the sense that Hamonic will be back next year. The Gustafson one, I think it was the fourth period that reported that he's going to chase unrestricted free agency. So as soon as I saw that, I kind of put him in the same category. So I think Gustafson is probably walking. Maybe they revisit if he doesn't get the money that he was looking for in free agency, but probably he will. I don't know if I put Forbort and Stone in the category where they would be front burner guys. So maybe they get contracts, maybe they don't get contracts. If you don't get everything that you want accomplished, maybe you double back on those guys a week or two into free agency and you go about it that way. And that leaves Brody as the last guy. And I think there is a lot to be said about re-signing Brody if the price is right. And I don't know, Logo. Like you bring up Brodeen's contract, you bring up Petrie's contract, and I don't know. Like I can't ignore those. I can't ignore that they both got raises. I can't ignore that they certainly have been compensated at their age, specifically Petrie, who's 32. Brody's 30. So my ballpark or if I'm making decisions, my walk away is kind of 5 years, $5.5 million, somewhere in that range. That would be my walk away. I don't know if that's realistic. The reason why I don't know is because I think Brody's a tier two, tier three free agent if he gets to free agency. And I don't know what those prices are going to look like because of a flat cap. And I also think that we do need to take into consideration everything I'm led to believe is that Brody wants to stay here. If all things are equal, Calgary's the place that he wants to play. And I think there's a decent chance that if a fair offer is put his way, that he would stay here and perhaps forego some of the things he might be able to get in free agency, but I don't know what a fair offer is for him and his camp. But I also think there's reason for the Flames to think about keeping him. He's very well liked. He's a quiet leader. I know for a fact he's one of the quiet leaders that doesn't necessarily get talked about like that inside that room, but I know that. And so I think there's plenty of reason to bring him back. And to Will's point about him being versatile, he can play on both sides. You know that he can play with Mark Giordano. That was one of the best pairings in the regular season in the NHL. You also know that he can move up and down the lineup pretty seamlessly. If you need a replacement on the left side, he can go there. And you also know that he can play comfortably on his offside where he prefers to play on the right. So, Logo, that's where I am on Brody. Like, I get I get the comparisons, and I can't ignore the Petrie and the Brodin money, but I also think there is a pretty big desire for Brody to stay here, so I wonder how much he'd be willing to forego on the open market.
Yeah, and I guess it comes down to the conversation that Brad's probably having with Brody's camp as to, you know, what's fair compensation and, you know, what's the value of TJ wanting to stay with the organization? What are those two numbers intersect? And, you know, I didn't see the comparison on Brodin. I see more similarities on a Petrie deal, and it's not even to say that we've heard anything that makes me worried about a Brody contract, but when someone like Jeff Petrie at 32 gets signed for that kind of money, you got to sit there and think that Brody's camp is, you know, at least thinking along those sort of lines. And for a guy that Jeff Petrie, who, you know, puts up 40 points consistently within his years in Montreal and is kind of the unsung hero behind Shea Weber, you know, it makes me think that maybe Brody's numbers price himself out of there. That's just a thought. I could be completely wrong on that. Maybe TJ's fine with taking a little bit less to stay in Calgary and they can find a happy medium there. I just sense a bit of worry on my side that, and look, I didn't expect some of these contracts to be coming in with a flat cap and to see some of the raises that have been handed out. Maybe TJ doesn't fall in that category, but as of right now, I'm just seeing some signs from other contracts that have crept into the back of my head and thought, if that's something similar, then maybe we're talking about having to walk away on both sides here.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what happens.
You go ahead. Sorry, Will.
No, sorry. I just thought it was my turn in the round table.
But no, I just jumped the gun because I'm a dummy. Continue.
The only thing I was going to say is that one thing that I think we got to keep in mind here, and I don't know if it matters, guys, but you know, the Brodin and Petrie extensions are both coming on deals with 1 year left, and I don't know if that really matters when it's all said and done, especially when you look at Petrie's age. I think that one is more of a comparable to Brody than the one with Brodin. But these are both guys that are coming off contracts where they still have a year to go on their current deal. So that's obviously something that's, you know, very highly, you know, the desire to keep them around inside the organization is very, very high. Not to say the Flames didn't try with Brody or whatever, but these are guys that were signed with 1 year left on their current contract. And looking at Jeff Petrie's $6.25 million cap hit, myself, Pat, that's not something I'm comfortable paying TJ Brody into his age 34, 35 season. But at the same time, based on the raise got by Jeff Petrie of $750,000, like, I don't know. Does 5x5 get it done for TJ Brody? I would say no. I would say that you're probably looking at somewhere between, you know, $5.5 and $6 million a year. And again, I don't know if that's something that I would want to do. Maybe, you know, going back to the original umbrella point of a revamp on the blue line, at that point, if that's what the contract's going to cost you, maybe a change is maybe something that you entertain. But again, I don't know what gets it done for TJ Brody. And just, you know, looking at numbers and trying to, you know, punch numbers in based on what the market may look like or some of the deals signed. Like, if you're TJ Brody's camp, you talk about a comparable deal. If they offer TJ a 5x5.75, is that something he takes? I don't know. I really have no idea.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, really, to talk about the year left compared to the UFA status and how that affects the money that those guys get compared to what TJ might look at. I hadn't thought about that.
And I don't know if it being a UFA would help or hurt the cause of Brody in this conversation either. My walkaway point on Brody is around 5.5 per at about 5 years. That's kind of what I would be comfortable with. That's about a $750,000 raise.
So 5 times 5, you'd say no.
It's 200 and another 200. So no, I wouldn't. Probably not. If that would get it done, then I'd probably be okay with that. So it wouldn't be my hard walk away point, but kind of like the ballpark for me would be $5.5 million for 4 or 5 years. I'd be comfortable with that for Brody. Others don't like that. He's a very polarizing player on this team with the way that he plays. But that to me, you're not adding a chunk onto your cap. Like even at 5.75, that's about $1 million onto your cap. cap from 1 year to the next. I'd be okay with that. I know that the number looks big, but you got to remember that Brody's at just under 4.7 right now, so you're not adding a ton if you do re-sign him for that. So if they were to give the raise and if they were to make it about 750 to a million, I'd be okay with that. If he's chasing 7x8 somewhere, well, yeah, obviously, then you have to say no thanks, but no thanks. Thank you for your service. It's a really interesting one, but I think that he is the one that all three of us anyway are most interested to see if the Flames bring back. So let's wrap it up on the Flames roundtable today. So we're all talking about a revamp, and we're all talking about them doing things a little bit differently and looking a little bit different next year. Logo, do you have a guy that you would like to see in Flames colors next year that they could go out and that would help them revamp the blue line? Is there a target for you?
It's hard because there's some that I think you're talking about. Probably you have to look at trades or something like that if you were to go out and get somebody like that. But there are, you know, some options I think in free agency that you would have to look at if you're the Calgary Flames. I still, believe it or not, I go back to that one that Klein brought up weeks ago, and a guy like Dylan DeMello or something like that from Winnipeg. I wouldn't mind a Tim Heed guy from San Jose adding.
But
some
are those guys revamping your blue line? You know what I'm saying? Like those?
No,
are,
I know.
Those are
seven,
eight guys.
I think Vatanen's probably, and we've had that conversation a bit too about a guy like that. That's, you know, probably going to slide into your top four. I don't know if you're revamping your D in your Calgary unless you're finding really good value on somebody that you didn't expect to be there, that it's going to come in free agency. I really think you're probably going to have to look at somebody else, maybe in a bit of cap trouble, that you could find that defenseman to slide into your top four. Because it's not Petrangelo. Like that's, I don't see that being an answer.
Fair enough. Will?
Yeah, for me, Pat, I go back to Sammy Vatanen only because I know that there has been interest there before from the Flames. And you know, we discussed it earlier. I do think he would be an upgrade on Travis Hamonic. And I think based on the fact that he was paid $4.875 million on his last deal, I don't know if it's something that, you know, really is going to break the bank in compared to some of the other free agent defensemen that might be out there. And the other one that I've always wondered about, only because his name seems to resurface all the time in trade talks, and this would have to be a trade because he's an RFA, but I do wonder about Brandon Montour in Buffalo, Pat.
He's been a guy that's been on the block for a long time. But geez, if
right
they could
shot,
go get
right in the right I, in the age that the Flames
love
would like.
That idea. Yeah,
I that's
love
that's
that
a guy
idea.
That I would target for sure.
Brand hasn't had any success with RFA guys.
It's true. That was pretty solid work that he did with Hamilton, and then Lindholm and Hanifin when they were acquired as RFAs. I like that idea a whole hell of a lot more than I like them going to get Ristolainen out of Buffalo. I really like that one, Will. Do I think Petrangelo is the way to go? Personally, no, I do not. I don't think that is a road that they should be really exploring. Just because I feel like that's a guy that you're going to need to eat a few bad years at the end. And unless you feel like you are knocking on the door for a Stanley Cup right away, I don't think he's the type of guy that you go get, and I don't believe that's where the Flames are. I wonder if the Flames, and I know it's in division, but I wonder if the Flames can exploit what's going on in Vegas, because there is some thought that they're looking to go after a couple of big fish, and they might have to move a contract or two as a result. So I wonder about a guy like Nate Schmidt. There's been talk that he might be a guy that could be moved out. Schmidt's a right shot. He's under contract for another 5 years at a fairly palatable number, under $6 million, pretty good defenseman. I don't know if Vegas would be keen in trading a guy like Schmidt in division, but he's a guy that, you know, Jonathan Davis has talked about it. A couple of other people have said there's a guy the Golden Knights might be looking to move out if they could go chase a Hall, or if they could go chase a Petrangelo, or acquire somebody with a big name in free agency. So there's another name that I've thought of. If they're really looking at revamping, how would Nate Schmidt with five more years in his deal look on Calgary's right side? Well,
God, he's so much fun to talk to, too. So I'd love to have Nate Schmidt on the Calgary Flames. And it's funny you bring him up, Pat, because similar age, obviously a year younger than TJ Brody, but you know, that's a $5.95 million deal into his mid-30s, and a guy who skates very similar to Brody, so that would kind of be a straight wash replacement, would it not?
Yeah, probably, and that might be the way you go if you can't find a number that you're comfortable with, or Brody's got an offer that is more than you're willing to go if you're the Flames. There's another offer. Again, I don't know if Vegas would be willing to trade a
one-year. What about a one-year trial on a guy like Alec Martinez?
I don't mind that idea as a veteran guy to kind of play on your third pair. The guy can still shoot it and played pretty well in the playoffs. I don't mind that in kind of a short term conversation.
Tampa's
at all.
Tight on cap. Maybe you look at Chernak as an RFA.
Chernak, I think, right, is going to get an offer sheet if he doesn't get traded. I think somebody will do that if he doesn't get traded. So, Chernak's a guy that's very much on my radar.
With Sergachev and Cirelli to sign as RFAs this offseason, Shattenkirk's a UFA for them.
Now you talk about revamp. If you could get your hands on Sergachev, absolutely.
How bad does that trade look for Montreal right now? Oh
yeah, Drouin straight up for Sergachev, not so good. Now, as it stands right now,
Tampa could lose Sergachev, but they got a cup, so.
True.
That's fine, I guess.
Yeah, they'll take that trade all day, I think.
As our good
man
Peter Klein would say, banners fly forever.
They certainly do. And you know what? When Elliot Friedman drops a nugget like that, the Flames are looking at completely revamping the D. Well, then you can start to talk about players like Brandon Montour, which, by the way, that might be my favorite one of all that you dropped, Will, or Sami Vatanen, or Nate Schmidt, or Alex Pietrangelo, or any of the other names that we've just thrown out there. That is what silly season is all about. And that, with Logan, Will, and Patton, is another edition of your daily Calgary Flames Roundtable.
Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. With standard 4MATIC all-wheel drive, the Mercedes-Benz C-Class is built for the four seasons of Calgary. Get yours at Mercedes-Benz Country Hills.